What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 34 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Whose Slave Are You? Charles Swindoll once wrote, "Because grace has freed us, we now have a choice between two masters. The old master, sin, is dedicated to the destruction of those who serve it. The new master, obedience, seeks righteousness, those things that please God, and give life to those who serve Him." Our text for today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Charles Swindoll shares the following story about Ray Steadman. One year, J. Vernon McGee invited him to preach a series of messages at the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles, which Ray gladly did. During a break one evening, he strolled down Hope Street, which reminded him a lot of his own mission field up north. He didn't go very far before encountering one of the area's more colorful residents, an eccentric man with long, tangled hair, a scraggly beard, and filthy clothes walked toward him wearing a sandwich board. Written on the front in bold letters, no doubt by the man himself, were the words, "I am a slave for Jesus Christ." The scruffy prophet held Ray's eyes in a steady gaze until he passed by, and as he continued up the sidewalk, Ray turned to read the back side of the sandwich board. It read, "Whose slave are you?" A good question asked by a unique example. We all serve something. It's just a matter of what. Some are slaves of their work. These servants of busyness and achievement can't shut down their laptops for more than a couple of hours at a time, and their electronic devices are all but surgically implanted in their hands. Some are slaves to things, possessions, temporal stuff, driven by the fantasy that contentment can be found in the having of things they cannot stop acquiring long enough to enjoy what they already own. Which prompts the question, how much is enough? Perhaps more than ever, people are enslaved to relationships. They magically mutate into whatever pleasing shape will gain them the approval of another. They cycle between self-acceptance and self-loathing, depending upon the affirmation or criticism they receive. They eagerly sacrifice themselves and, ironically, those they love to avoid the most dreadful condition of all, aloneness. Perhaps the most pathetic and increasingly common slaves are those who are enslaved to the god of self. Psychologists call them narcissist. The name comes from a figure in Roman mythology named Narcissus, who fell in love with his own reflection in a stream. When he tried to kiss the object of his love, his lips disturbed the water and his image ran away, which left him heartbroken. He dared not drink from the stream for fear of losing his lover forever. Eventually, the slave of self-love died of thirst. Narcissists serve themselves even when they appear to be selfless, and they relentlessly demand the time, attention, admiration, devotion, and nurturing of others. But this, like the other forms of slavery, only leads to greater emptiness. We all serve something. It's just a matter of what. In Romans 6, 15 through 23, Paul reminds us that a man is a slave to the one he commits himself to obey. Who do you obey more often? Your sinful cravings? Or your Savior, Jesus Christ. Some questions to consider. Currently, whose slave are you? How does the following statement in Matthew 6:24 mirror today's scripture? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And finally, what does Swindoll mean by the following statement? The truth Paul labors to teach is really a paradox. Slavery to God is the greatest freedom a human can never know. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.